Okay, so we were discussing for the last few weeks some of the issues in tzedakah, and in particular, I was trying to, I guess, examine through the issue of kfiya b'tzedakah, which I want to elaborate on just a little bit more this evening, the idea whether you can enforce or coerce. Can you enforce the obligation to give tzedakah? Can you coerce someone, right, to give his, you know, his allotment? So we were analyzing, you know, through that, the nature and character of the mitzvah of tzedakah itself. The Gemara says here in Bava Basra, and Av Chesamid Beis, and again in Ksuvis and Av Memtes, the Gemara tells a story of a certain case of kfiya, and the Gemara also describes Gvias tzedakah as an act of srara, which therefore requires two. These are all the Gemaras that we've been reading. So the every indication is that tzedakah is a enforceable, you know, obligation. And at the same time, we ran into the issue that Bali Tosas discussed, and that is that there's a principle of mitzvah saseh she matan schor b'tzeda. Ein bezin shalmatan muzharin aleha, that if the Torah itself tells us what's at stake, like it does seemingly in tzedakah, pasach tiftach es yadcha, right, you're obligated to give the ani, and then it says in that context broadly, leman yivarechcha Hashem alokecha. So how can there be kfiya if it's ein bezin shalmatan muzharin aleha? And we saw a range of six or seven different answers. Okay, we don't need to go over that because we did that already. But what we were focusing on was the position of the Ra'ah as quoted in the Ritva and the position of the Radvaz on the Rambam Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, which I think they're just on to a certain idea which has much, much stronger roots. And that idea, I wanted to also suggest maybe at root of the position of the Ri. The Ri says that the answer to the question of matan tzchor b'tzeda is the fact that here there's a lav in addition to an asay, and what the Ra'ah, as quoted by the Ritva and the Radvaz, establish is that this principle doesn't apply except for mitzvos, things that are only mitzvos, but where you have a mitzvah which also reflects a chiyuv mamon, a monetary obligation. So in that circumstance, the principle of ein bezin shamatim muzharin aleha no longer applies. So what the Ra'ah, as quoted by the Ritva, develops in a couple of places, Baal Basra, Rosh Hashanah, Ksuvis, each place he, you know, kind of supplements, you know, his presentation and the others, you know, adding a little more, you know, meat to the bone, if you will, adding more information, solving some of the issues and the problems. But the bigger idea is that the mitzvah of tzedakah is really formulated in the Torah as a monetary obligation to support aniyim. And since it's a monetary obligation, so it has nothing to do with bezdin, muzharin. That has to do with, you know, mitzvos, schar mitzvos, onshim, for violating or for squandering the opportunity to do a mitzvah, but it's not connected to a chiyuv mamon. Chiyuv mamon is just that. It's a monetary obligation. If I owe you money, I owe you money. If two of us have entered into an agreement of some sort, then that agreement has to be honored. That has nothing to do with l'man yivarecha Hashem Elokecha. That's just a contractual Chosha Mishpa type of an agreement. That's the Chiddush of the Ra'ah. And the Radvaz goes further and actually calls an Ashir a Lova and an Ani his Baal Chov. So that's very, very striking. Again, you know, we shouldn't take it, you know, too, you know, far. Obviously, a person, the Halacha very much values ownership, bailus. And, you know, the whole of Hilchos Kinyanim, you know, is based on the respect that the halacha has for ownership. you know, ownership of material goods, whether it's property or metaltalin. You know, either way, ownership is a serious matter. When it comes to metaltalin, the whole topic of Geneva and Gazela and Oshek, you know, all these issues have to do with ownership. And, you know, that's Sarasai Nibros, you know, Los Achmod. It's all about respect for other people's ownership. The fact that they, you know, are, you know, the rightful, you know, they have rights in and therefore exclusive rights to the objects that they own. So it's not as if the Torah doesn't value or doesn't recognize and even value, you know, individual property. Of course it does. So for the Torah to, as understood by some of these Rishonim, you know, perceive the relationship between Ani and Asher as a debt, a debtor-creditor relationship, but in the opposite direction that we would have anticipated, meaning that the Ani has a right to demand support in certain circumstances from an Asher, from somebody who's capable of it, even though he doesn't know him, he never met him. And, you know, he didn't, this Asher didn't impoverish this Ani, and so on and so forth. That's a very remarkable idea. But once you apply that idea, and again, it's not socialism at all. It's, you know, it is social justice, but it's not socialism, certainly not communism. As I say, there's a healthy recognition for private ownership in all of this. But it does recognize, you know, the extended bonds of family, and that, you know, extending assistance to family transcends, you know, even respected, you know, principles like ownership. And that's very important. And we can understand it if we, you know, if we look, you know, at this from the perspective, you know, that we're just all much more familiar with, you know, instead of, you know, starting with the idea that, you know, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, or kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, you know, is about kol yisrael as an extended family, maybe we should finish with that. You know, that's one of the things that is engendered by Matan Torah and Knisa la'aretz, and of course lies at, you know, the core and root of many, many different halachos, even small things like yatza motzi, you know, making kiddush for somebody when you've already, you know, made the bracha. But let's, instead of, you know, as I say, starting with that, because it's a very grandiose, you know, aspiration, you know, let's just start with something simpler. And that is like what everybody understands, hopefully. And that is more, you know, organic family ties, you know, the nuclear family, you know, so-called. You know, it's, everybody perfectly understands that, like within the structure of the nuclear family, you know, that the obligation to assist transcends, you know, private ownership rights, and that it's obligatory, you know, for one member of the nuclear family, you know, to assist another, you know, financially and emotionally and, you know, in all ways. So when we start with that notion, that doesn't mean, just because, you know, it's clear, we're going to discuss a little bit that obligation in a minute. Even, you know, even though the relationship of parents to children and siblings to each other is something that is much more familiar to us and much more, you know, logical and compelling even, that doesn't mean it ends there. It doesn't mean that those relationships also don't, you know, recognize, you know, sovereignty and ownership and personal rights, you know, chayecha kodmin l'chaye chavercha, and even in a family, you know, there are hierarchies of concern and so on. So basically what these Rishonim are suggesting, these Poskim are suggesting, is to extend this idea throughout to Klal Yisrael, and that's a big chiddush. But, you know, once you understand how it works, you know, within the nuclear family, you know, it's not such a stretch anymore. And then when you add to it what I mentioned last week, which is the concept of Galgal HaChozer, which is that, you know, this Ki Lo Yachdal Evyon Mikarav Amecha, you know, this recognition that, you know, there, you know, is, you know, what goes around comes around, I guess, you know, that, you know, this is, there'll always be poverty, people's fortunes, you know, and their declines, you know, are a matter of, you know, just a matter of time in a way, you know, like they say in Pirkei Avos, you know, everybody has their moment. And that, you know, works in different ways. So the idea that, you know, kind of tzedakah is an investment, you know, and it's this massive, you know, revolving, you know, fund, but you have a right, everybody has the right, you know, to make some claims on that fund. So, of course, it also depends how it's done. I mean, we live in a time where there's a lot of fraudulent tzedakah. Probably in all times there have been, you know, fraudulent tzedakahs, because wherever finances are involved, it always invites pirtza kores, you know, leganov. So people have always been obsessed with accumulation, and chamas has always been, you know, a very tempting and corrosive, you know, factor. So we also have to be careful. But anyways, this is the idea of mitzvah seisha matan schar b'tzeda. Say these poskim have nothing to do with tzedakah. Tzedakah transcends, you know, mitzvah. Tzedakah is about a financial obligation to support within reason. Ad shiyado maseges, you know, aser to aser, but you know, you don't have to make him rich. You have to make sure that you're not making yourself, you know, poor. That's why there are limits to tzedakah, and you know, there are all sorts of ways to, you know, to determine that people are in fact, you know, legitimate and they have integrity, and there are still priorities. So this isn't the whole story, but this part of the story is very important to understand. So what I was suggesting for the re, in light of this idea that tzedakah has a monetary aspect to it, a very significant monetary aspect to it, I was suggesting that when the re says that there's no din of mitzvah seisha matan schar b'tzeda, what he really meant to say, because there's a lav, he didn't mean to say that whenever you have an asein lav, this principle automatically doesn't apply. Because that is logically difficult to explain and also doesn't seem to conform to the evidence of other, you know, cases, as we discussed previously. But I think what the Re means to say here is that the relationship of the asein and the lav of tzedakah highlights these two aspects of tzedakah. Tzedakah as a mitzvah, like other mitzvos, which devolves upon the nosein, where the idea is that, you know, he, the nosein, you know, is kind of given hechetimtzi, oni and the oni, you know, and, you know, a test almost, you know, to fulfill this mitzvah of generosity, you know, to cultivate the midah of philanthropy and altruism. That's one aspect of it. The Arishonim would discuss, like, do you make a bracha on tzedakah? So there are different answers given. Davar sheyesh b'kitzvah, in b'kitzvah, when would you make it? Let's say, you know, the guy doesn't accept it, so you'd give him tzedakah, it could be a bracha levada. All sorts of interesting answers, you know, to this question. And one of the answers to the question is, no, it's ben adam l'chaveiro. We don't make brachos on ben adam l'chaveiro. That's also controversial in its own right. So I think, again, there's a lot of mixed evidence whether tzedakah is ben adam l'makom or ben adam l'chaveiro or both. And I think a lot of the evidence is both in terms of bracha, in terms of, we discussed last week a little bit, you know, the p'tur of onein. You know, some achronim say, like, why is, we never found that that there's a p'tur tzedakah, you know, for an onein. Person who mishameso mutal lefanav. So he doesn't say kriya shema, he doesn't do other mitzvos, right? Is he pater mi tzedakah? And does it matter that there's an asay and a lav? So again, some of the posts can speak about this. I think Shlomo Zalman has a piece on this in his tshuvas, Mincha Shlomo, I saw many years ago, where he wonders about this. He says, you know, typically, you know, you're chayiv and lavin, you're not allowed to violate lavin when you're an onein. It's about esed. But I think the issue is, and I think maybe he discusses this also, is the lav reinforcing the assay? Is the assay encouraging avoidance of the lav, or are these two different mechayvim? So I'm suggesting for the re, they may be two different mechayvim, that the assay of pasach tiftach is all about initiating, you know, a certain mitzvah, like, you know, you need to mail it to the right address. You need to find aniyim. And as I mentioned last week, ger toshav could be enough. Ani is obligated to support ani chavero. You know, all of these, it's like an ani is obligated to build a sukkah and to sit in the sukkah. He's obligated to give tzedakah. There might be lishma, you know, in the mitzvah of tzedakah. There certainly is osik mitzvah potter min mitzvah to make you potter mit tzedakah. That is true. The Gemara says that a shomer aveda, a person picks up an aveda on the street, there's a debate whether he's a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar. The Gemara says he might be a shomer sachar because, you know, while being engaged in watching this object, he becomes exempt from answering the door, you know, when the ani, you know, is knocking, which is very fascinating. So there's plenty of evidence on both sides. There's evidence to think that it's a benanam lamako, but a lot of evidence to think that it's just about the support itself and it's a monetary obligation. And you may even fulfill this mitzvah, as I mentioned again last week, on the basis of the sifrei. You may not even know that you're fulfilling the mitzvah, because you went to the street, your money dropped out of your pocket, and ani was supported, you know, unbeknownst to you, but on the basis of your, financial wherewithal, and maybe that's a mitzvah too. So I think that it is a lot of evidence that there are two dinim, and I've suggested that maybe the double language, even within the assay, pasach tiftach, nasan tite, the double essen, the double aven, I think all of this is a way of kind of highlighting, you know, the fact that tzedakah is a complex mitzvah, that it really touches on two seemingly opposite, you know, but really it brings them together. And that's a tremendous, a unique chiddush, the nosein and the makabel. The focus on nitzal anu midina shel gehenem, right? When Tarnas Rappa said to Rabbi Akiva, we read this Gemara last time, like in Kadosh Baruch Hu Ohev Aniyim Lama Eina Mefarnasan. And Rabbi Akiva said to him, Litzol Anu Midina Shel Gehenem. It's our opportunity. It's not because the Ani is a Hechetimtzi, you know, to cultivate the meat of generosity and philanthropy in the Asher or in the Nosek. So it's all about a lot of evidence, all about the donor. On the other hand, as I say, clearly, you know, this idea that an ani can demand of the nosein makes it all about the makabel. He's the balchov. He has rights. He has the right to be, you know, treated with dignity and therefore sustained, even as we acknowledge bailos as such a powerful category. So I think maybe that's what the Ri has in mind. The Ri is saying exactly what the Ra'ah is saying, exactly what the Radvaz is saying. But he's highlighting it by emphasizing the lav aspect or the lav side by side with the assay of tzedakah. And as I mentioned last week, I think the Rambam's view is clear that, you know, you need a confrontation with an oni to violate the lav. And I think that the Rambam got this from the psukim themselves. Lo ta'ameitzis levavcha, lo tikpotzis yadcha. You can almost see the image. In other words, it doesn't mean, you know, don't... you know, you violate a law if you didn't give tzedakah. It means you're in the context of, you're witnessing, you're experiencing someone's need, you know, and you're hardening your heart. You know, you're already, you know, involved with them. Or, you know, your hand is out and you're withdrawing your hand, you know. The equivalent of it doesn't have to be an actual case, you know, of that. But it has to be, you know, basically, and we'll see in a moment, I think that the Rambam also got this from a certain Gemara and from the phrase, which we're going to discuss in just a minute, b'dekayim mi'aniyim, that when the aniyim are present, now that's a mechayim, which I think is where the language of the Ritva came from, or the Ra'ah that he's quoting, mishum machsoram shel aniyim mechayim. you know. So anyway, so that's the perspective in tzedakah, or the dual perspective in tzedakah, which I think explains so much about why this is such a critical mitzvah, not only because it's so necessary for, you know, Jewish community infrastructure and so on, but like the Rambam says, it's a siman of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was, you know, the gadol, you know, he was the first, and he introduced the Ribono Shel Olam. He was, the person who established, you know, the principle of the Ribono Shel Olam after it had been forgotten. And he's also the person who integrated, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro together with Ben Adam L'Makom. You know, he was the Amra Chesed. So the Simon L'Avraham Avinu is tzedakah, not only because of the Chesed, but because of this combination, I think, of the two. There was a question. Yeah.
Harav, yeah. I have a question. Hi. Sure. How does this fit in, this dual approach, so to speak, to the Rambam, who says the highest level of tzedakah is based on the pasuk that the highest level is when you give a person I'm reading from the Rambam, that's not a monetary idea of tzedakah. That you see,
because the Rambam's talking about what is the Rambam, when the Rambam says the highest idea, what he means is what is the most efficient, what is the most effective and valuable tzedakah.
Right, but that's not a monetary. It's a
No, where you, when there is a requirement, when there is a need. I mean, obviously, if you read the language of the Rambam, also when he talks about the Aseh and the Lav, he talks about the needs of the ani, and you know the obligation, you know, of the asher, particularly the needs of the ani when there is an ani, who you know shalo yalim einav mimenu. In the context of the confrontation, I believe you were actually emphasizing that a lot last week too, as I was.
Right.
So then, of course, that's the situation. But Rambam's comment about the levels of tzedakah, I think, are a different. I think he's talking about a different question, and that is, if somebody doesn't need that, right? Then, like, what is the best thing you can do for the ani? In the end of the day, the goal certainly is to assist, you know, the ani in a maximal way, even if that means, you know, limiting your own ownership rights for him. However, if the question is being asked, like, what is the most, you know, beneficial thing you can do for an ani? So the Rambam says insightfully, I mean, it's based on the Gemara, and that is that the best thing you can do for the ani, you know, is sustain him before he drops below the poverty line.
And according to that, Peshat, if you didn't do it and you have the ability to lechazik es yodo, are you over the lav then?
I don't know if you're over the lav, but, if you did it at that point, he wasn't an ani, but he was about to fall under the
poverty. Well, he's obviously, the Rambam saying that he needs it. Malik, that this person needs it.
We'll put it this way.
It.
You certainly are mekayim the mitzvah, you know, when you give him and you do it, and when you help him, like with a loan or whatever, whether that's called, you know, malim, einav, you know, may ani hatoveya, I don't know. I don't, probably, possibly not. But in the end of the day, it's still the best. When the Rambam's counting at that point, he's counting like what is the most beneficial tzedakah. So it's counterintuitive because, you know, you would think, especially in the world that we live, you know, so, you know, what could be better from somebody than getting free money, you know, that he doesn't have to repay. But we also understand very well that in terms of dignity, you know, and in terms of self, you know, self-image, in other words, and in terms of, you know, the long-term, you know, prospects of that individual, you know, the best thing for him, what's most beneficial, the best way to help that particular individual. And I thought, but it may not be the level of generosity of the nosir, but in terms of the tzrache ha'ani v'ha'evyon, is to keep him above the poverty line, you know, so that he, you know, ani harei u'kemeis, you know, chazal.
Right. So I was asking the other part.
Like bikuach nefesh, you know, if he doesn't have to drop below that line. So I think there are two different issues that we're talking about. One is when there is absolutely the obligation, right, to provide for him financially, you know, then that may even be like a chovas mamon because of the chovas mitzvah, but it doesn't end at the chovas mitzvah in the case. However, when that, you know, it's ad sheyado maseges deimach, part of the pasuk says in Reis, deimach soro, right? And deimach soro means what he needs. If he doesn't need it, then, you know, because you want to feel good or just write him a check, you know, sometimes that's the easy way.
But let me ask you, when it's the Rambam writes, if someone has the power to mechazik his friend, then he's not. That's what I was asking. Is he over the law?
In Sefer Mitzvot, he says that too.
Right. So if you have that power to do it and you don't, are you over the law? Or is you have that power to do it?
I think it's still in, yeah. I mean, I think the Rambam basically says, the way I understand the Rambam, there are two conditions to violate the law. Number one, that you really be in a state of whatever it means, confrontation or encounter, you know, with a need. That's number one. And number two is that you have the wherewithal. Meaning, if you find yourself in a confrontation with an ani, but you just don't have the, you know, that kind of, you know, monetary reserves, so, you know, it would be too damaging for you. I think that's what the Rama means. If you are in this confrontation, condition number one, meaning such that ignoring him constitutes like a slap in the face, constitutes, you know, he has a right and you have an ability, and you have an obligation. And number two, you have the ability, because if you don't have the ability, then you don't have the obligation either. That's what I think those words of the Rambam mean. I don't think that it's a single condition. I think it's the second condition of the lav. Okay, good. So now what I want to do is spend a couple of more minutes doing, I want to spend a few minutes doing two different things. Number one, discussing the question of if tzedakah really is a mitzvah, and which it certainly is, I mean, nason titen pasoach tiftach, etc. And maybe it's also a chiyuv, like a chiyuv mamon, and under certain conditions, again, de machsoro, and, you know, asher yechsalo, and also kishayado maseges of the Ashir, which is what we were just talking about a second ago, the Rambam, you know, is talking about. So you have to have the ability to help him. Otherwise, if you're going to go under too, or even if you're not going to go under, but you don't have the ability to help him in the way that he wants, you know, then somebody else is going to have to help also. So I want to talk about the relationship between the mitzvah and the chiyuv part in terms of at least two different issues that come up. Do we look at tzedakah as kind of iser, or more as mamon? That's question number one I want to address very quickly. And question number two, you know, when we talk about kfiya, which we've been, and we've tried to explain, you know, how there could be kfiya, what are the different levels of kfiya in practice, and what do they reflect? In other words, you know, again, we talked about, you know, verbal coercion, according to Baalei Tosas. What about, you know, forcing him, you know, to give? What about confiscating his property when he refuses to give in his presence? And what about confiscating his property when he's not present? And there are different ways of not being present also. One is halach l'medina sayam, we just don't know where he is or whatever. The other is something like, you know, he's intellectually not present, like nishtata. So this is a massive topic, a very practical topic. I'm not going to go into details now because I just want to, you know, I want to move on to other topics, but I think it's really an important aspect of what we've been discussing. Okay, so let's talk about the first one. Is tzedakah primarily, you know, treated as a chiyuv mamon, like or more like a neder, a mitzvah, a chiyuv, etc.? So it's interesting to note that going back to the first Mar Makomos for a minute, and then we're going to get to the second one right after that, that there are two Gemaras in Rosh Hashanah. I hope everybody still has the, you know, the first Mar Makomos on Tzedakah. This is, you know, given out by 3 weeks ago or so. So the Gemara says on Rosh Hashanah, it's on page two, probably it's on page two in yours as well. I don't know what line. Bavli Rosh Hashanah Dalet Omed Aleph. To Daladomid base?
Rosh Hashanah, line 18.
So it's page 2, line 18 of the,
yes.
not the most recent, but the one before that, right?
Right, set 10, Tana Rabbanan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Gemara, that's just very interesting to note that there are two Gemaras. One Gemara on Dav Daled in Rosh Hashanah. The other Gemara on Dav Vav. And they seem to contradict each other. And the Rishonim got involved and said all sorts of interesting things. We're just going to limit our discussion to Tosis and to the Rajba. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Chai Behadamin, right? Baha'erchin, Baha'charamin, Baha'hekdeshos, Katos Hashamos Olos Ushlamin, Tzedakos Umaisros, Bechor Umaiser Upesach, Leket Shikcha Upeya. So these are all obviously monetary obligations of one sort or another. I want to go into the details of them, but except for what we're interested in, which is the tzedakah part. Rochin, Charamin, Hekdeshos, right? Different korbanos. These are all obligations that take a monetary form. And what the Gemara says about all of them is, Kivin She'avro Aleim Gimel Regalim, if you're supposed to fulfill these obligations, preferably, immediately, right? Motza Svasecha, Tishmar, the Asista. But if you let them linger, too long, after Gimel Regalim, then you're also going to be over, the lav of Baal Ta'acher. Okay? Rab Shimon Omer, Gimel Regalim Kesidron, V'chagamatzos Tchila. Right, Rab Shimon thought that, it has to be Kesidron, starting with Chagamatzos. Rab Meir Omer, excuse me, Kivin She'ovar Alehem, Regal Echad over the Baal Ta'acher. Okay, good. So what emerges from this Gemara, the Pashtas, is that Tzedakah, right, is on a list, right, Arachim, Karamin, Ekdeshos, Chatos, Hasham, Asal, Shlam, and then comes Tzedakos, and then followed by Maestros, right? It's on the list, which says, if Kibrin, She'avra, Aleim, Gimel Regalim, until Gimel Regalim, you don't violate Baal Ta'acher. You don't violate, excuse me, Baal Ta'acher immediately, only after Gimel Regalim. However, look at the next entry, right? That is the Gemara also in Rosh Hashanah, a daf and a half later, and Davav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Beficha, Motzah Sasacha, that whole parsha, Beficha Zu Tzedakos. So the word Beficha means a verbal commitment, Tzedakah. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, U Tzedakah Mechayiv Alola Alter. That when you commit to tzedakah, right, then you are obligated to fulfill your tzedakah pledge, right, immediately. Says the Gemara, Maitaima, the Hakaimi Aniyim, because after all, the Aniyim are there. A very interesting phrase, the Hakaimi Aniyim. The Aniyim are there. They're there right now. So, therefore, you have to your obligation is to address their plight immediately. Says the Gemara Pshita, isn't that obvious? The Gemara says Ma'od Seima, no, not obvious at all. Kim de Binyana de Karbanos Ksiva. This parsha is in the context of Karbanos. So you would have thought Ad the Avri Allah Gimel Regalim ke Karbanos. That, until you have ignored your obligation for Gimel Regalim, like Karbanos, there would be no prohibition until three Regalim, right? Kamash Malan, Hasam Hutalin Rachmana, Bibi Regalim. Aval Hacha, Lo. Again, the Gemara repeats the language. Doshchichi, that part was Dakaimi, Aniyim. The Aniyim are prevalent. They're present. Oh. So, obviously, these two Gemaras don't seem to cohere, right? The first Gemara in Dav Daled seems to say that we treat tzedakah like karbanos and other obligations, and you have until Gimel Regalim to discharge your chiyuv. And the Gemara in Dav Vav barely a daf and a half later, says that shchichi aniyim or kaimi aniyim, right, reminds me of machsorim shel aniyim, or, you know, lo yalim, you know, einav mimenu of the Rambam, that, you know, just the presence of the aniyim, the demands of the aniyim, themselves are mechayiv immediately. So Bali Tosis discusses this question, the next entry, tzedakos umaisros, the hod omar rabba lekaman, utzedaka mechayiv alala alter. Tosis is written on daf dalet amud aleph. That's where the Gemara said you have gimel regalim. Tosis says, well, what gimel regalim? The Gemara says, you know, a little later on, that there's a chiyuv immediately, right? So, says Tosis, yeah, Rava did say that, but hani mili de kaimi aniyim. Avalo mechayiv ladure basrayu, calls man shalei over gimel regalim. Wow. Tosis says that when the Gemara above says that there's an immediate obligation because of kaimi or shchichi aniyim, what they meant to say was that the physical presence of aniyim is an exception to bal ta'acher of gimel regalim. If there are no aniyim around, you don't encounter aniyim, you know, for months. I know what's utopia, you know, they could possibly be living in. But if you don't encounter any ani, so then you have gimel regalim. And even after gimel regalim, you have to find an ani. You know, you have to find a destination for the check. But if there are aniyim and they're making demands or they're present, you encounter them. That's how he understands it. So then the chiyuv is immediate. A very interesting tosis. Then he goes on to say, "Hod parach pshita." So what the Gemara says, "Mishani ma'od the same behold binyan of the karbanos ksevad avur gimel regalim," right? Ki karbanos. I mean, the problem is we are saying that that's still true. That's the Gemara in Avdala. Says tosis, "Haynu afilu hechad kai mianiyim." We might have thought that even if it's kaim yaniim, that the category of gimel regalim like karbanos would still apply. But don't say that the pshat. So Tos says it could have been another answer, but it's wrong, and that is that over la alter means the mitzvah saseh, motzo sasecha tishvar, right? Kedash kachem ba'achrini, deberegel echad over ba'aseh, dimkein habel lemeimra do avar la regel echad. Kekarban. Shouldn't have said gimel. So Tosa says, you could have thought that the answer was to be mechalek between the asay of motzos asecha tishmar and the lav of losa acher. That in itself is very interesting. That one is immediate and the other is after 3 months. But number one, the Gemara doesn't say it that way. And number two, then it should be after a regel. It shouldn't be, you know, la'alter, right? And even in the Havamina, it should only be, you know, after, you know, one regal, not after gimel regalim, if that's really what we're talking about. So Tosis dismisses that answer. What emerges from Tosis? Seemingly, the way Tosis understands the Gemara, the presence of aniyim, right, they're basically two dinim, right? The question is, are they really two dinim, or is this all just, you know, one din? Hard to say. But, you know, in fact, when there are, you know, when you are obligated to give tzedakah, but there are no aniyim pressing you, then you have gimel regalim. And when there are aniyim that you encounter, then it's an immediate chiyuv. So it could very well be that this, you know, works well with the idea that really there are two aspects of tzedakah. But there's one aspect where you have a chiyuv, you know, and that chiyuv is like other mitzvos, and you have to find a way to, you know, to execute it. And, you know, but you have gimel regalim, just like, you know, to bring your korban, you know, to bring, you know, your charamim, you know, to bring your arachin. So, you know, that to fulfill that, there's a time frame. And that time frame is gimel regalim. However, once there's an encounter, I think it's maybe the way the Rambam understood it. Once there's actually an encounter, you know, that's a different kind of chiyuv. You know, then machsorim shel aniyim is kobe. But it's fascinating that the Rajba really didn't like this idea at all. As much as I think that the Rambam and the Ra'ah and the Radvaz were very influenced by this language of the Gemara, and I think this perspective, look at the Rajba. Now, the Rajba is the first entry. I messed up a little bit in the second Mar Makomos. We're going to get back to the first Mar Makomos in a minute. But when I sent them in, I, for some reason, didn't put my name on it, and somehow it started a couple of words, you know, later than I wanted it to.
If there are no aniyim, why? What's the mechayev to get tzedakah?
The obligation that you undertook every year, you have an obligation, but also if it was in great tzedakah.
Where's the obligation every year to get tzedakah?
Pasach tiftach. That's the way the Rambam. Well, I think that here
only
we're talking
only law chicha. Only if you have an ani. If you don't have an ani,
not necessarily. Here you have beficha zu tzedakah. Here you have two psukim. One is beficha zu tzedakah, and the other is the application of baal ta'acher. But if you look at the Rambam, Rambam says, you know, in general, that you have an obligation to give pasach tiftach. You know, and nasam titain. And then the Rambam says, and if there are aniyim and you encounter them, then you violate a law. So you know, maybe the one, and either way, when the Gemara says and the Rambam codifies the obligation of 1/3 a shekel a shana, right? That's a yearly obligation. So it seems, if what we've been saying is correct, which is there are two dimensions to tzedakah.
I mean, the machzis hashekel is a chiyuv, but if you live in Savion, if you live in Savion, you don't leave the house, you don't encounter aniyim.
Wait, there's a din of maisa. Anyway, you have to give a maisa.
I don't know. Again, how much it means? Like, you know, when we say kaimi aniyim, you know, ishtakhi aniyim. I don't know whether you have to actually, you know, if you're hiding from them in your house. I'm not sure that isn't meaning. There are people, but as you say, if you live in Savion isn't what it used to be. All of Israel now is like Savion. But back in the day, you know, as Zev knows very well, we have, you know, we're not related, but we have common relatives. So, you know, so I know Savion of old.
And the orchards.
The orchard. So it's... you know, it's, I think if a person's hiding out, you know, in the orchard of, and therefore he's not encountering aniyim, I'm not sure. I don't think that's what Rava had in mind. I think Rava meant you're living in a very affluent society and you really don't, there's no need. And, you know, you made this pledge, b'ficha zu tzedakah, or you have an obligation, you know, so you have time to fulfill the obligation. But when there's an encounter, which means the actual encounter, but probably also means that, you know, by avoiding the encounter, you're also being malim, you know, enayim, meaning they're circling, they need and they want, you know, they're demanding. You're just not seeing them. I don't think that's, you know, that's enough of a patur. But the 1/3 shekel ashana, by the way, which is based on the Gemara, appears in the Rambam just very quickly in the old Mar Makomos, in the previous set 10. If you look at Hukos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Zayin, Halacha, Hey. You know, just for the sake of clarity, Baha Ani Vishal. One second, let's just look here on this, you know, page 3. Is it page 3? Matnos Aminim Zion Aleph, Mitzase Litain Stokalaniim, Kifina Sharon.
Line 20.
Right. Imbusa Yodo Masagas, Shanemra Patok Tiflak, Vexakta, Vachai, etc. Then Halacha Basis, Kola Roya, Ani Mavakesh. But again, that could be out of your window too. I'm not sure. The helamain of mimenu, velo nasan stakar velosa. Then look at halacha hey, baha ani vishal de machsar vein yado yara nose masagas. He doesn't have that wherewithal. Nose la kafi, well, so I guess you do what you can, what you're capable of. The kama, ad chamishis, mitzvah mamuvkar, echad measara, beinoni, pachas mikan ainra, ula olam lo yimana atzmo mishlisa sashekel bashana. That's where the shlish Hashekel b'shana that I mentioned comes from, based on the Gemara. But Kol Nosei Pachos Mizeh Lo Kiyem Mitzvah. And then he adds, Afilo Ani Amitz Parnas Matzaka Chayv Litein Tzaka La'Acher, which I thought was very interesting. because this is all part of the aseh, meaning I think he inserts the ani, which is part of the aseh, not part of the lav. I think he inserts that right next to kolanosein, pachos mizelo kia mitzvah, pachos miwad, la'olam leimada yimana atzma mishlishas hashekel b'shana, meaning these aren't just shiurim, you know, different shiurim. There's, you know, the maximal amount, the normal amount, you know, the minimum amount. You know, no, I think the max and the minimum, at least, themselves reflect these two different, you know, perspectives. I mean, one is like you have to give; it's your, it has to, you know, it's you know, it's an inner drive. It's like you know, you have to, you know, pick up, pay for, and pick up, you know, the dalad minim every year and build a sukkah and, you know, make sure that you, you know, the blow or hear the shofar and many other things that you're obligated, you know, to do. That's one thing. And then there's something else, and that is like, how do you respond, you know, to the needs of other people? And, you know, at what point, you know, does that become, is that in the pattern of, you know, pure altruism? Or, you know, does that take on the paradigm of creditor, you know, and debtor? So I think when the Rambam, you know, is classifying these three, and only when he gets to the last one does he mention, you know, ani chaveiro, that is all very intentional. So here we're talking about, you know, we're not in this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it's not so much pasoach tiftach lo ta'ame, it's more like on the neder level, but I think that's very fascinating too. I'll get back to that. Motzos vasacha tishmar and lo sa'acher. But I think it's a very similar idea.
Just one
thing. Arav, wait. Is it possible to answer Leon's question, the din of Maisa? I mean, if there's a din for every year to give Maisa, that's tzedakah.
Say again?
There's a din that everyone has to give Maisa. Isn't Maisa a form of tzedakah?
Are you using the term Maisa like Maisa?
Maisa like on
a tenth of your
well, for sure, Maisa on
That is a detail in tzedakah. So that's
right.
That so be a circular. No. So that's what I just.
So Leon asked where there's a chiyuv. So I wanted to answer him. There is
right. No, but that's whether that's right. But I think he means is there a chiyuv dara. First of all, that's what the Rambam that I just talked about said. Bo ani v'shol de machzor de in yada nosen masegas nosen kipi asagas in this halacha hey kama ad chamishus nechasav mitzvah amuvchar. That's A. B. Echad me'asor b'nechasa b'noni. That's what you're talking about. Three pachs mikan ayin ra lo yimana mishlishes hashekel b'shana. But the status of the ma'aser k'safim is actually a huge debate among the rishonim and the poskim. The truth is that most poskim are of the opinion that's a din drabana, a very serious drabana, but a drabana nonetheless. But that there's an obligation d'oraisa, you know, and you know, maybe two different ones, or at least one in Parshas Re'eh, that's clear. But as for
but the Vayetze is aser ta'asren olo. Vayetze, aser ta'asren olo.
No, okay, but that's, you know, that's real Meiser. So I'm saying we pattern, you know, this concept of Meiser Ksafim after, you know, Meisros, Eretz Yisrael, Tvua of Meisros.
You know, by the way, Yaakov said, "V'chol asher titen li, aser ta'asren olo." That's not real. That's Maisa's suffering.
Well, okay, that's you know, that's he said that. That was a commitment. But I'm saying the real aser ta'aser is real Maisros, you know, which talks about two aser Yisrael. And remember, there are we just read Parshas Emor, right in the end of the section in Parshas Amoadim that actually speaks about, you know, what we're in the middle of right now, which is Korban Omer, Sfirasa Omer, and Korban Shtei Lechem. There's like a, you know, the most, we'll call it challenging in terms of location, psukim of the entire parsha. And that's, you know, Kitzartem is Kitzir Artzachem, the obligation of Peya, you know, and Maiserani. So I think there's a reason for that, but not for now. But the, you know, that's also kind of a tzedakah. But that's there. Those are Maisros, Maiser Ani, and so on, and Peya, and Leket, and Shikcha, in Tvuas Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, again, you can't bring a Makar Doraisa, probably, you know, from the Avos. You know, that's an old question. So as it happens, there are a few poskim who really, this is not for now, but there are a few poskim who do claim that Maisik Safin may be a Din Doraisa, or at least a Kiyum Doraisa. But there are basically three views. One view is that the most prominent view is that it's a Din Darabanan. The two extreme views, which is that that's a Din Daraisa, or that it's just like a Minag, the Alma, nothing more, like a Midas Chassidus or a Minag, whatever. Those are the two, you know, more peripheral views, if you take like the, you know, the whole literature. But, you know, clearly there is an obligation to give, and the Shlish Shekel B'Shana, the Rambam says, is certainly a minimum obligation every year. Although, again, it's not clear that that's a Doraisa Shir, but it's certainly, of the three in the Rambam, that's the one that looks the most like it.
Why can't you resolve the Yastira and Tosis by distinguishing between Tzedakah to an Ani and Tzedakah to the Shul?
He doesn't say it. I mean, the Gemaras, the two Gemaras speak about Tzedakah.
But you're making a pledge for the shul is also tzedakah.
No, I understand. So I think I mentioned this once. In the Shita Mekubetzas of Ksuvis, I think on Daf Mem Tes, if memory serves, the Shita Mekubetzas quotes in the name of the Me'ili, not Me'iri, but Me'ili, and it doesn't seem to be a Tov Sefer, that you should be Medayik from the Lashonos, aser to aser, things like that. That really, maybe the best thing to do is like split up your philanthropy. Like, you know, half of it should go to aniyim and half of it should go to good causes like institutions. And remember that a third of shekel shana that the Rambam is talking about, the mokar for that is the Beis HaMikdash, right? So I, what you're saying, you know, this question about, you know, how much for good works and how much for needy people is really a very important question. It's the parameters are really unclear, except for that Me'ili and, you know, some advice, you know, in the poskim. It's, you know, left a lot for individuals to decide. Maybe it's better that way, you know, how they want. It's clear that there should be, you know, and that the classic, you know, tzedakah. In Torah, tzedakah, you know, that we read of in, you know, in the end of Vayikra and in Re'eh, you know, and so on and so forth, is, you know, connected to Oni and Evyon, you know, etc. But again, in Nach, and that got picked up in the Gemara and codified by the Rambam and the Poskim, this third Shekel Hashana is really... you know, it's institutional. That's supporting the institution. So both of these clearly have very deep roots. How you should handle the balance between them, you know, there are some suggestions. But at the end of the day, probably it's like I said last week a little bit. It's one of these things. It's not a zero sum game. It's like all hierarchies in tzedakah. You know, there's the mishpacha and then there's Aniye Ircha and Aniye Yerushalayim, and you know, I don't think anybody thinks that, you know, as long as you haven't satisfied one level, you know, that you should be ignoring all others. I think part of the nature, this is again an intriguing truth, if it is true, I think it's true, is one of the intriguing characteristic ideas of tzedakah is precisely, you know, that that it's not a zero sum obligation. There are many different needs, and there's a hierarchy. You know, you should be giving priority to certain things over other things, and that's what these Gemaras or Midrashei Halacha, you know, are saying. And at the same time, you know, because there's another aspect, you shouldn't be ignoring anything or anybody. And in a way, it's the setup that I'm pushing here, which is that really there are two dinim. One is kind of more like a, you know, mitzvah saseh, and that is an ben adam, you know, la makom, and cultivating, you know, the midav rachmanos and so on, And that is like, you know, you have to give to good causes, you know, and that's one aspect. Then the other aspects are like the demands that are made upon you, you know, by the recipients. So from a donor point of view, you know, there's hierarchy. And from a recipient point of view, all the recipients have claims on you, maybe not the same level of claim. So I think that's one of the reasons, actually, that, you know, that we don't say, oh, you know, there are levels. You know, first you contend with, you know, the most pressing one. If there's anything left over, then you go to the next one. We typically do not do that in tzedakah. What we do is we have hierarchies. We have, you know, a certain proportionality in the way that we, you know, allocate, you know, resources. But we try, you can't give everything, but we try certainly, you know, to spread, you know, to allocate, you know, to some of the different levels and at least the categories of causes. And I think, you know, that's the reason why we do it on both of these levels. Okay. So the Rajba disagrees. Ooh, we're almost running out of time again. So again, I may have to spill over a little next week for one of this. But the Rajba, interesting, disagrees. And what I want to show you is that I think the Rajba really is Lishitaso. The Rajba, I think, generally, my theory is, was a little uncomfortable with the monetary conversion, let's say, of this mitzvah, right, in this, the conversion of this mitzvah into a monetary obligation. Not fully uncomfortable, but he wasn't all in either, is what I'm trying to say. He didn't embrace this idea. I think if you contrast the Ran and the Rajba in a number of sugyas, there's a pattern, and I don't think it's a coincidental pattern, that the Rajba is much more, let's say, mitzvah-oriented, I would say. I'll try and explain the three examples in a minute. And the Ran is much more, let's say, choshem mishpat oriented when it comes to all this. So let me give an example. So the Rajba here, it's a long, long piece. So I'm just going to quote selectively. But on the first page of the, is this set 11?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you probably, you know, we're metakein a little bit. So much. For some reason, I don't know how I told you, the way it came out, it just like started, it looks like it has a word in tzedakos there. And it just started from the middle. I don't know why.
I was trying to find the title. I was trying to find where it was. I couldn't figure it out.
Oh, it doesn't even say where it is. That's
right. No. Okay.
Yeah, so it's the Rajba on, I'm trying to remember now. I think it's the Rajba on Vav Amud Aleph. It's the Rajba on Rosh Hashanah, that I can tell you for sure. And I believe it's on Vav Amud Aleph. I'll get to the exact one, you know, for next time, because we're not going to finish. I have somebody coming over in like 10 minutes. So we're probably going to need another few minutes for this topic anyway. So I think it's the Rajba Vav Amud Aleph on the same stira. So he quotes Bali Tosis, Kosfu B'Tosis. Everybody have it? It's on the first line. I mean, it just looks clumsy, but the material that we need is actually here. Kosfu B'Tosis, Dom Rinan, This is what Tosis said, right? Tosis made this interesting distinction, right? If aniyim are there and they're ubiquitous and they're demanding, then you can't wait. And if the obligation to give is internal, it's to fulfill your mitzvah. I've been calling it ben adam lamakom. Of course, you know, you implement it by giving to people, but, you know, it's almost like I was saying about ger toshav in Yisrael, you know. The Yisrael can demand from you, probably the ger toshav, at least my reading of the Rambam. The ger toshav cannot, but if you want to mail a check and fulfill the mitzvah, you can do that with a ger toshav too. Okay, so that's what Tosa says. Hani mili b'delek aniyim hacha, hakai mahacha aniyim over alayla alter. Says the Rajba. Now the Rajba's talking after quoting. Ulididi kashali tuva. Says, I have a lot of questions. Okay. Chada, number one. Dim isa ki kam rachmalad lo abar bekarbanos ad shiavru alav gimel regalim. Hainu mishum dlo atrech lo ad gimel regalim. The Kim Chikain, Ilu Isa Birushalayim, but Aprashe Le Karban, I'll explain this in 1 second. Yavar Alehale Alter, Dakoi, Mekadesh v'kaimi kohanim v'kaima behema. So this is like, we just couldn't do better than this. You know, like if the Rajba wanted to help me out, you know, to assist me and reinforce my my theory, like, you know, he couldn't have done me a better turn. What is the Rajba saying? You have to read it a couple of times. You're scratching your head like, what's he saying? So the Rajba is saying like this. He's saying, oh, the factor in Tosis is the opportunity, the ease with which you can execute and implement, you know, this Torah obligation. That's what determines. And therefore, if the Aniyim are around, you know, and you could fulfill it right now, so the delay is, you know, completely unacceptable, right? It's egregious. And we don't accept that, you know, more flexible timetable. However, you know, if no one is demanding, so then, you know, then the time period extends. So he says, so how would that look in the world? Why wouldn't that be the same in the world of Korbanos? Meaning, if you have, you know, if he's in the Mikdash area and he's got, and the Kohanim are available and he's got, you know, a couple of behemos, you know, so then he should be obligated to bring the Korban right away as well. So
if
the argument, he's thinking like, what's he saying? I don't really understand what he's saying. But then we now, you know, as we go on, you know, it becomes easier to understand, but it's clear actually what he's saying. Meaning the Rajba didn't even understand Tosfos as saying what we said he said. Meaning, what I was explaining about Tosfos's solution to the problem is that Kaimi Aniyim is a Mechayiv of Tzedakah. Not of, you know, it's not a meta-halachic question. You know, the Rajba's thinking like this. This is a meta-halachic question. What happens if you commit yourself, or objectively you're committed, right, to doing a particular mitzvah, right? What is the relationship between, you know, implementing that immediately, you know, as opposed to like having, you know, a flexible, you know, time frame within which it's appropriate, you know, to complete that task? That's the question. That's how the Rajba is looking at it. And then Balei Tosfos are now saying, in order to be Miyashiv Astira, when it comes to Tzedakah, there it says three Megalim, sorry. And on Davav, it says, you know, La'alter, because Hakayim Yaniyim. So the way they're thinking of it, in this meta halachic question, what's the issue? You know, if, you know, the means are accessible and there's no particular justification for delay, so then, you know, there's no excuse. Or another way to say it would be the capacity to implement this with immediacy, right, dictates that the delay constitutes not just the absence of implementing, but a kind of bitul hamitzvah. It's like almost becomes like a positive, you know, negation. You could do this right now and you're choosing not to, because you have the wherewithal, it's all accessible, it's doable. Says the Rajba, that's the question, and that's how Balei Tosfos are explaining, you know, the discrepancy in the two Gemaras about Tzedakah, right? Capacity of immediate implementation or not. So then who are they? Legabe Karbanos. What if the Kohanim are ready and the Behemah is ready and he's ready? He's in the right place. He's got, you know, the right, you know, shlichim. And he's got an animal. That's what that's what the Rajba, believe it or not, is saying, right? Udidi kashatuva the im isa ki kamarachmana de lo aver bekarbanos sachiyaver gimel regal. The same should be true for karbanos. Hainu mishum de lo atrachale. You don't have to bother. We're not forcing you, right, to expend this tremendous effort to come to the mikdash and so on and do this for gimel regalim. What's the answer? No, that's not what Rava meant, according to Balei Tosfos, at all. No, I mean, again, I don't want to argue with the Rajba, but I don't think it's what Balei Tosfos meant. What they meant was, when it comes to tzedakah, very specifically, right, this isn't a meta-halachic question about all mitzvos. This is a question about the relationship between, right, the inner need right, to fulfill this mitzvah opportunity, right? And the pressure, right, which devolves upon, you know, someone with wherewithal, you know, when his quote-unquote, you know, creditor, the ani, because of this obligation, you know, is demanding from the debtor, you know, that he resolve, you know, their mutual obligations. It's a din kaimi ani mishtaket, especially for the Rambam, right? I mean, the Rambam thought, wow, the whole lav is based on, you know, kaimi aniim nishtakhi, you know, aniim. So I think this is a really initial indication that the Rajba was, you know, more than reluctant to abandon, you know, the idea that tzedakah is fundamentally a mitzvah, a chiyuv, right? The kind of thing that, you know, you make a bracha on, the kind of thing that you would say osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah, the kind of thing that is subject to lishma, right? And this, I think, gets reinforced as we, it's a very long piece, as you go on. But even the chayev ba'asei b'regal echad, right, muvas shama, right, meuvasa shama, sorry, v'avesum shama, right, mimela leikum b'bal ta'acher, ukra meir d'archibo l'havio, v'kivin shimachui b'kachaboli Yerushalayim yabar. Now again, I think there might be another element here. You know, we were learning about Basra, so we're discussing this from a rather extensive tzedakah discussion. But I do think that the Rajba's perspective is like really important, you know, to this like metahalachic broader question about delaying the implementation of mitzvos when it's possible. But Ode. Right, if it's a question of convenience, why would there be any perspective that it's kesidron, you know, that you have to go in order, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Okay, I'm skipping a couple of lines. I've got it. Elihi gzeiros hakasuv, says the Rajba. The reason is, because this isn't all about, he himself is saying now, it's not about, just give me a couple of minutes and I'll be right in. It's not about delay, and it's not about like an egregious, you know, failure to implement when possible. It's a special din in Baal Ta'acher. The kivet exeris hakasavi Baal Ta'acher mali karbonos mali tzedaka. What's the difference between karbonos and tzedaka? But again, by saying what's the difference, right? He's basically saying I think tzedaka is exactly like karbonos, meaning it's a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv, it's not an obligation. There's no other party who's demanding. But ode, and he said it's talk about altar ka'avar the bal ta'acher came kral it studim ksiv. Oh, anyways, I'm going to stop here. Just let me tell you what he says. Just if you go to the third paragraph, where's that? What's the number in that? Ellen Estaberly.
27.
Ellen Estaberly deli olam gimel regalim lebal ta'acher gzeres hakasavi. The gimel regalim. Pieces exeris hakasu, the ad sheyaber lav ena over v'afilu kaim me'aniim. Same thing is true with tzedakah or karbanos. It doesn't matter if koy mikdash or kaim mekohanim behind ubraisa. Uderav lechayvu ba'asei demotzas v'secha. What do you do with the stira? Says what Tosa said. He couldn't say the Rajba says mostly is the answer, and that is Rava is talking about the mitzvah sasei of motzas v'secha tishmar. And we're going to distinguish between that mitzvah saseh and the lav of lo sa'acher. Now we're going to try to show next week, I want to speak a little more about this point, but what I'm going to try to show is that the Ran and the Rajba in the Darim debate what about safek chiyuv tzedakah la'aniyim. Is that safek mamon? Or is that safek iser? I think that they're connected and l'shitasam. And then I want to also discuss next week, I want to discuss the question of kviya b'fanav, kviya shalom b'fanav, you know, what the relationship is between different levels of coercion. Does it matter if the person's nishtata? Very important questions. But again, where the Rajba takes a stand in which it's like kfiyah b'mitzvot, but it's not more. And the Ran, we'll see, he's the hawk, you know, in all of this. Ran says you can confiscate staka, and you can, you know, if he's not around, he owes you. It's like, it's a real obligation. So I think it's a very interesting, I'll just try to show how that fits in the postgame into the Rambam a little bit. And then we'll move on to the next topic. Okay, and I'll try to, we'll try right. to discern whether I owe you one, owe okay. a recording, and if not, I'll try to send this one either
okay. way. Okay, thank
all
you.
Week, everyone.